Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. We're digging deeper into Matthew's Gospel. And today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It reads, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." What an amazing promise. Of course, showing mercy from verse 7 needs a pure heart because it must be done altruistically. Although the merciful will be shown mercy, the reward is not something that a merciful person thinks about. They have a pure heart. The heart is at the core of who we are. The Bible tells us that we should strive for purity because God is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3, "All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." The Psalms call us to be pure of heart, Psalm 24, verse 3, and Psalm 73, verse 1. "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure of heart." But we're all too well aware that our hearts are often not pure, but full of evil. "Nothing impure will enter heaven," Revelation 21 and 22 tell us what to do. David asked for a pure heart in Psalm 51, verse 10, "Create a pure heart in me, O God." And indeed, only God can give us that purity, but indeed, he is able to do so. Philippians 2, 13, "It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." God will do it, but we are not to remain passive. James chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." We have our own responsibility here. Jesus was upset with the Pharisees for not having a pure heart in Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 23. It's important that we keep a pure heart. Why? Because we will be like our Lord, who is pure of heart, in the next life, as already mentioned in 1 John chapter 3. A Christian tries to be as much like their Lord because he is our model and our hope. And those of us who do this in this life are showing that our present efforts are consistent with our future hope. Being pure in heart means being like Jesus, who had no sin. And although we are sinners, nonetheless, we strive for that purity that Jesus had. Now, of course, we're not capable of a total moral purity, so perhaps the encouragement to be pure refers to a relational purity, the sort of thing we see in marriage and in covenants. Marriage is a relationship characterized by a commitment to one, exclusive of all other people. One wife, one God. And there's a purity in that. There's no mixing. No mixing of my commitment to other relationships. The purity that's asked for by God is that where we maintain a narrowness of focus on our relationship with him. In other words, we strive not to be distracted and polluted by the world, James chapter 1, verse 27. A mark of purity is total sincerity. The J.B. Phillips translation of this verse has, "Happy are the utterly sincere, for they will see God." And how will we see God? I think it's a bit like a child growing up and people saying that that child looks more and more like their father or mother. And also the child themselves comes to understand their parents better. Others see more of God in us, but we also see more of God. Well, next time we'll go on to verse 9, but until then, I hope you have a wonderful day and God bless.